Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. So I'll be honest this morning that I might be more nervous to tell you about this story than I was in the moment it took place, which is saying a lot because in that moment I was pretty scared. Probably more so embarrassed. It was the fourth day of January back in 2020. And as an emotional eater, I was not doing well. I was not doing well with life. I was not doing well with stress. I was not doing well with a number of frustrating moments that were happening in all sorts of realms of that I was involved with. And this was 2 months before COVID, which was, yeah, great, right? But I was not doing well. I was unhealthy in a lot of ways. And one of those ways was my physical health. Now, don't get me wrong. I could still hop up in the morning and run a good 5-6 miles, and I could pump out a good cardio workout. But I knew that from a physical standpoint, the reality was a very different story. Maybe it looked okay from the outside, but wasn't good. And so on that fourth day of January 2020, I stood before a machine called an in-body machine, which I think is such a fabulous name for this machine. And we're going to put a picture of it here on the screen. This is what it looks like. This machine not only is a scale that measures your weight, but it is a machine that you stand on these, I don't know, probes or I don't know, with these things that you, I know, you have to hold it with your thumbs and your heels have to be on it. And basically what it does is it measures what's in your body. It measures your skeletal muscle mass. It measures your dry lean mass. It measures your hydration. It measures your inflammation. It measures your body fat. And it doesn't just do this for your entire body, but it does it for every part. So you could tell how much muscle and fat you had in your right arm or your left leg or in your torso. And so that's what it does. It measures what's inside, which is why I think it's a great name, InBody. The first time I stepped up on that in-body machine, it was not pretty. I was 38 years old and I was in the worst shape of my life. And I knew that if I had left the course of things unchecked, I knew that it would lead me down a path that would only get worse. And so when I stood on that machine for the first time, it gave me a reality check. It said to me, here's where you're at. It's not where I wanted to be. But I could not deny in that moment that that's where I was at. And in that moment, I had a decision to make. I could ignore the results and I could continue down a path that I was going. Or I could take a first step towards better health. Now, the thing with an in-body machine, at least in the experience I had with it, is that after you run the scan, your results immediately go to your nutritionist. To his credit, he did not shame me. He did not make me feel guilty about the place where I was at. He said, here's where we are. And here's the plan. And here's how we're going to work together to incrementally get better in your health. And that was the start of a 21-month journey where nearly every week I went back to his place and had to step on that in-body machine over and over and over again. And I watched the numbers, and they did slowly start to move in the right direction as I worked out hard. But even more importantly, I ate right and watched what I was eating and hit my macros of proteins and carbs and the good kinds of fats. And it took time. It took a lot of time. And it was tedious work recording everything you eat. And it was very frustrating. And there were many moments where I was ready to just be done with it. But after 21 months, I hit my goal weight, but more importantly, I hit the numbers from the inside, and I was able to do that before a big trip, and I was as healthy as I had been in a long time. Now, the part that causes me anxiety this morning and why I'm going to start to sweat here in just a minute is this morning, I can just name before you that it's been about a year since I have seen my nutritionist. And for the most part this year, I think I've been okay. But the emotional eating has returned with a vengeance. And due to stresses that I've been just naming, and you know, I think I shared a few of those in a couple weeks ago, and you know, and even with, you know, I think I was able to kind of work out pretty hard and stave it off as much as possible, but you know, with the injury to my foot a month and a half or so ago, I haven't been able to work out like I have, and I'm just not well. I'm not in a place where I want to be. I've backslid further than I wanted to, and the part that makes me sweat this morning is because I have this job where I have to stand in front of people every week. And you all can see this, you know, you can see changes, I know this. And so as scary as it is for me to say out loud, I just need to name that I'm not where I want to be. And I need to recommit myself to better habits. Now the point in sharing all of this is not for you to become my personal therapist this morning. Right? It's not for you, me just to share with you my personal narrative, because, yeah, I'm sweating right now. This is not comfortable for me. But the point is for me to set the table for what's before us here at Westview. When we concluded our last sermon series a couple weeks ago, we talked about recognizing just different phases of life and different chapters of life and different chapters of ministry. And we said it kind of feels like with some things that are coming together, that feels like another step that we're going to be able to take forward here. And we talked about how we want to move together forward in faith, and we want to move together forward in faithfulness to God and all that God has in store for us. Moving forward together into God's will must be done from a place of health. I think every congregation out there wants to say, we're a healthy church, right? Have you ever met a congregation or a church that says, we don't care about being healthy? I think every congregation wants to be able to say, we're a healthy church. And so often, the benchmarks that are used are those things that are visible, right? We look at, well, our worship attendance is growing, so we must be a healthy church, or our giving is on par with budget, so we must be a healthy church. Now, visible markers like that can tell part of the story, but only part of the story. Right? If we just use visible markers like worship attendance and budget and giving, that's sort of like stepping just on a scale where maybe you see the numbers going down, but maybe you're just losing muscle mass or you're losing the good waters that your body needs. In order for us to declare ourselves to be a healthy church, it requires an in-body scan. It requires us to take a look inside and to assess the reality of what's happening within. Those things that are not as easy to document. Those things that are not as easy to see. And yet those things that are incredibly crucial for us in order to create and maintain church health. And so Westview, this fall, we are going to do our own version of an in-body scan. We're going to get inside. And we're going to consider the various aspects of our health as a church, as a faith community. And we're going to call this our health check. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but is anybody ever excited about that yearly physical with a doctor? I'm sure we are prompt at making those appointments, right? Are we faithful every year to get the right way? That health check and those yearly physicals, they get us a little anxious, don't they? Because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to reveal. And we just don't want the cold splash of reality, right? But a health check is necessary. Just like it is for us as people going to the doctor once a year at least for that physical, it is important for a church to do a health check. Because we can look fine on the outside, and we can maybe hide things away, but it's so critical to know what's going on in the inside. And if we want to take that next faithful step moving forward into God's will, we need to first assess where we're at. More than just external, like on a scale, but an in-body scan that gets inside to assess where we are so that we know from here is where we're going to take that next step. Because we cannot move forward if we don't know where we're at. And so we want to encourage and be encouraged, and we want to challenge and be challenged as brothers and sisters in Christ on a journey together towards greater church or spiritual health. Because I trust we all want the same, don't we? We all want to be a congregation that's living together in the center of God's will. A congregation that is knowing who God is and what God is doing in and amongst each and every one of us and doing in this place and doing in this community and how God is inviting us to participate in that redemptive work in His world. And so I trust that all of us want to take these purposeful steps forward together into the next chapter of ministry. And so this fall is going to be our health check, Westview. We're going to do a weekly in-body scan that will be a source, I believe, of encouragement and also challenge for us, for our church's spiritual health as we seek to make steps forward as healthy as possible into God's will. And our weekly scan is going to comprise of different, what we're going to call these health markers. And this is something that I received from another denomination earlier this summer through some meetings that I was at. And they've been used by many churches and many other denominations, including our own. And as I've looked at them just for myself and looked at them as a collective whole, I think they're a great place for us to start. Now, are they the perfect list of all the health markers of all the church? No, they're not. But I think they're a great place for us to begin to assess and do that in-body scan of us as a church. And I'm excited for this morning because the very first health marker hits something that is near and dear to my heart and I trust is near and dear to our heart as a congregation because it reflects upon one of our core values. The first health marker in this list is about the centrality of God's Word. That God's Word is understood to be the perfect rule for faith and life. That God's Word is preached and taught in a way with careful preparation and which takes into account the historical context but also seeks to apply it in a relevant context today. That the Word of God, that we as people are being equipped and empowered in order to, for us to study the Word of God ourselves and be able to integrate it into our own lives. And so this initial health assessment we're doing today is all about our relationship with the Word of God. And for further insight into that this morning, we've got this great passage that is in front of us here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And so follow along as I read this passage aloud. The writer of this passage is the Apostle Paul, you know, the great leader of the church who wrote a ton of the New Testament. He's writing here to Timothy, which is why it's called Timothy. And Timothy is like his protege, sort of his spiritual son in the faith. And this is what Paul says to him here in chapter 3, verse 10. Follow along as we read these words from the book that we love. You, Timothy, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. It is believed that the book of 2 Timothy is Paul's final letter that he wrote. And so Paul here, before his death, he's sharing all those things that are of utmost importance to him, all those things that he cares about. And he's writing here to Timothy, sort of the next generation leader who's been a spiritual son to him. And so Paul is sharing with him all these important things that he just wants to make sure he gets off his chest, make sure that Timothy knows. And in this part of the letter, we see Paul's passion about the Word of God and about Paul's passion for Timothy to have the Word of God as central in his life. So start with me in verse 15. Keep your Bibles open. Look with me at verse 15. Paul names that Timothy has had this incredible blessing in his life. He names that from infancy, he has known the Holy Scriptures. Think about that with me. What an incredible gift that is. That from infancy, from the moment he was a newborn, as a little toddler, Timothy has been taught the Word of God. He has known the Word of God. Let me just say to us, friends, as if we are parents or someday we're soon to be parents, or if we're grandparents or we're aunts and uncles or we're big brothers or big sisters, we've got little ones, right? I'm thinking of the little ones that are over in our nursery right now, the little ones who are in children's worship right now, the little ones who are near and dear to us. What a gift it is for us that at that age already to be sharing with them the Word of God. To be reading the Word of God to them. That, you know, at bedtime, we're not just reading one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, but that we read a storybook Bible or a children's Bible, and that before they can even begin to comprehend what's even going on in the world around them, already then the life-giving, living Word of God is permeating their hearts and their souls and their minds. What a gift we can give. Be encouraged to do that today. Paul tells Timothy, you have known from infancy these holy scriptures. And Paul is telling Timothy here, hold on to these things. Hold on to the things you've learned. Hold on to the things that you've been convinced of. Hold on to the things that you've seen in my example, Paul says, and all the examples I've given to you, and the examples of, as we know from other parts of the letter, from your mother and your grandmother. Hold on to these things. And Paul says to him how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let me read that part again. Able to make you wise for salvation. This is the great gift of Scripture. The Word of God makes us wise. The Word of God fills us with wisdom so that we know our need for salvation, so that we know the way of salvation, so that we know the gift of salvation. The Word of God makes us wise so that we can know the hope of salvation. And I'll challenge any of us that's here this morning, if you want to come up here and share with me, is there anything in all the world more important than that? Is there anything more important than becoming wise for the knowledge of salvation? You know, this gift of salvation is the most important aspect of our faith. It is what our faith is built upon. It's what our faith is about. Salvation through Jesus Christ. And the Word of God tells the story. The Word of God tells us about this. The Word of God is able to. The Word of God is powerful enough. The word there is dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite. The Word of God has this explosive ability to share the good news with us. Because the Bible tells us about how God created us and knows us and loves us. The Word of God tells us how sin came in and disrupted our perfect relationship with God. The Word of God tells us how God loved you and me so much that He would not allow us to remain in sin's effects. The Word of God tells us about how God sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of our sins so that we no longer bear that cost. The Word of God tells us even further that Jesus didn't just die on the cross, but He took care of the punishment of sin. He took care of death, for He rose again. And the Word of God tells us that if you and I and all of us and any of us, if we believe this good news, if we believe in who Jesus is and what He has done, then the gift of salvation is for you and me, freedom from sin and everlasting life. This is what the Word of God tells us. Is there anything more important than that? This is reason enough for the Word of God to be central in our life. And yet there's another reason here. See, once we know this good news, we also then discover we have a purpose to live into God's will for God's glory. So jump down to verse 17 with me in your Bibles. All Scripture is useful. All Scripture is beneficial in a variety of different ways. And we'll say more about verse 16 in just a second. But then look at verse 17. Look at those first two words. It says, so that. Right? There's a reason here, right? So that the person of God, the one who is in Christ, the one who has been made wise for salvation, so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I need us to feel the totality of that sentence. I want us to feel the all-encompassing nature of that powerful sentence. Right? The Word of God makes us wise for salvation, and then the Word of God equips us, and it says so that we may be thoroughly equipped. The word there for thoroughly means completely complete. It means completely, fully, perfectly, in every way possible and in every way necessary. Thoroughly equipped for every good work, every task, every job, every ministry, every mission, every situation, every assignment God has in store for us. The Word of God equips us, gives to us what we need for what God calls us to do. And it does so, as verse 16 tells us, through teaching. The Word of God teaches us. So this is about learning. This is about learning doctrine and theology and the essentials of our faith. The Word of God teaches us what we need to know. This is why Paul is so adamant that Timothy continue on in what he has learned and has become convinced of, because he's learned the truth. He's learned the truth that Scripture has for him. And Paul goes on, you know those from whom you've learned it, right? Timothy learned from Paul. He learned from his mother. He learned from his grandmother. Trusted people who imparted the wisdom and the knowledge of Scripture into his heart. His faith formation. Timothy knows who he has learned it from. People he's seen, their teaching, their life, their purpose, their faith, and more. Friends, today you know just as well as I do that all the information is out there for us. At just a click of the mouse, that we can get any information on any topic of any sort by just scrolling over, typing a few words in, Google search, and off we go, whether it's true or whether it's fake news. It is now more important than ever that we know who we are getting the information from. It is now more important than ever that we know who we're receiving the information from. And I just want to just pause here. Can I just say for a moment that I am humbled that you would entrust me to lead us in a time of studying Scripture together week after week. I am humbled by that. I am overwhelmed by that. I do not take that responsibility lightly. So thank you for that opportunity, and thank you for also teaching me. Thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for guiding me as well. It is so important, those whom we learn from. And so thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for the opportunity to learn and grow together. Because the teachings of the truths of Scripture is the one way that Scripture equips us. Another way that Scripture equips us is by rebuking, it says. And this is about refuting sin, right? This is about refuting errors, convicting us when we are out of step. And this is the hard one to swallow, right? Because just raise your hand. Who loves to be told that they're doing something wrong? Right? Anybody? Anybody? No? No? Okay, right? I don't like being told I'm doing something wrong. You don't like being told we're doing something wrong. And yet Scripture equips us by refuting, by rebuking, by saying, hey, this is a little out of line. And you know what's even harder than being told you're doing something wrong? Telling something else they're doing something wrong. Because that's hard. That's painful. That's one of the hardest roles, and sometimes in my role as a pastor, even our roles as elders who are called to care for the spiritual welfare of the whole church, we don't like that word discipline, right? We don't want to point things out, because you know what happens is more than ever, it's, that's good for you, that's good, that's, you do me, I'll do me, right? You do you, I'll do me. And so what happens is we'd much rather say, well, I'm going to live my own life the way that I want to live, and then maybe I'll try to find some scripture passages to justify how I'm living, or I want to live my life. I want to read the scriptures through my lens of how I want to live rather than living my life through the lens of scripture. And when we push back on that, when we say, hold on, there's a way that God has given to us, this teaching that God has given to us, and we need to live according to His will and according to His way, when we push back on that, then there comes pushback. Then there comes not persecution like Paul experienced. Don't get us wrong, we're not there. But there comes alienation. There comes where we're degraded. We are disregarded. And so much more, because no one wants to be told they're doing this wrong. And yet Scripture equips us by holding us to the way and the will of God. So there's teaching, and then there's rebuking. Then there's also correcting. Scripture equips us by correcting. The image here of the word correct is of setting a bone that has been broken. Anybody break a bone and have to wear a cast? Right? Sometimes the bones are just broken just a little bit, and you have to reset it, and then you have to hold it in place a while, right, with a cast so that it fuses back together. Well, that's the image here of correcting. So when we're out of line, when we're out of step, when we're outside the lines of what we're supposed to be doing, and a rebuke has come, then Scripture helps correct us so that we can realign again, so that if we've been walking in disobedience, then we can walk in obedience to the will and the way of God. Scripture also equips us by training, and it even says training in righteousness. And so offering guidance and direction of how to live, not just a life, but a life of godliness, a life of holiness, a life of righteousness. What it means to live as people of Christ, living in the way of Christ, living as the light of Christ wherever God sends us. So through teaching and rebuking and correcting and training, God's Word equips us in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of situations, in every sort of way, so that we may be thoroughly equipped to take those steps and to do what God has called us to do. So this equipping piece is also why it's critical for God's Word to be central in our lives. Now, we mentioned earlier this morning that one of our core values here at Westview is rooted in Scripture. And I'm so glad that is a core value of ours, that everything we do here at Westview, whether it's preaching the Word or worship or discipleship and discovery hour, small groups or ministry team meetings or whatever it is, that everything has a foundation in Scripture. And because this is one of our core values here at Westview, I trust I don't have to spend a lot of time convincing us of the importance of God's Word. But what I do hope is that the fact that Scripture reveals salvation and that Scripture equips us to do what God has called us to do, it just validates the importance of the Word of God to be centered in our lives. Not because we worship Scripture, not because we idolize Scripture. No, we look to Scripture because Scripture shows us Jesus. And Jesus is the author of our faith, the one who has given salvation. Jesus is the perfecter of our faith, the one who has shown us the way to live in God's will. The centrality of God's Word in our lives. Now, because we're in a sermon series here in which we're talking about spiritual health, and we're likening it to a health check, and even more so to that in-body scan, you know, doing something a little deeper than just surface level, one of the things we're going to do during this sermon series is we're going to end each message with our little health check. And we're going to do it through some reflection questions. And we're going to give some questions that we're just going to give some time for us to pause and pray over and reflect and process. And these questions are going to challenge us. Hopefully they'll encourage us as well. It'll be a part of our scan for the day. And again, let me just say, it's not to shame us, not to guilt us, but it's to show us just here's where we're at and help us to take that one next step and the one next step and that one next step towards greater spiritual health as followers of Jesus Christ and as a congregation. Now, I'm going to share these questions, and the most important advice I can give is just to be honest with yourself, because I can't do this for you. You can't do it for me. I'm going to commit to doing this as best as I can and to take these questions and to take this sermon series seriously, and I can only ask you to do the same. But I'm going to ask that we take this seriously. We just be honest with ourselves, because it does not matter if we're here or here or here or here. It does not matter. We just have to know where we're at so that we can take a next step forward and a next step forward and a next step forward. And if we all do that, we commit to that, us as individuals, think what that can mean for us as a congregation. If we as brothers and sisters in Christ are doing this together, what that can mean for us as a whole, because I do believe that we are better when we're together. And so I'm going to share our first reflection question here on the screen, and I'm going to ask it, I'll say a little bit about it, and then I'll just give us some time to pause and to process and to reflect, and then we'll move on. So our first question is this: what is my current relationship with the Word of God? You know, maybe it's a close companion to us, something we pick up every day. Maybe it's something we bring on Sunday morning and we get out when the pastor tells us to get it out. Maybe it's something that's altogether different. And again, no guilt, no shame. Just be honest with yourself, because we can only move forward from where we are at. And so just take a moment here, just process, just reflect on what is my current relationship with the Word of God. I'll give us just a little time, then I'll lead us into the next question, okay? Okay, here's the second question. So we talked about current relationship with the Word of God. Here's the second question. What is one step I can take to deepen my relationship with the Word of God? So what's one thing I can do to engage God's Word more deeply? Maybe for some of us, it's getting a Bible, buying a Bible, or asking me, and I'll get you one. Maybe for some of us, that one step we can take is I just got to find that Bible that's sitting on the shelf. Maybe for some of us, taking that one step is I need to bring it to worship with me. Or maybe for some of us, it's starting a reading plan, or if we're not reading anything each day, maybe it's just starting to read a verse a day. You don't have to read hours and hours. It's one step, one step. So what's one step? We can take a couple verses. Maybe for some of us, the next step for us to take is to start memorizing Scripture. So from wherever we are at, again, doesn't matter where we are, what's one step we can take to deepen our relationship with the Word of God? Just give you a little time to think and pause and reflect on that right now. And then building off of that that question, here's our final reflection question for us. Third question is this: who will I ask to do that with me? See, we're not alone on this journey. We're not alone on the journey of faith or our spiritual health. And there's so much encouragement and there's so much support when we work together. And so we just reflected upon what's one step I can take. So keeping that in mind, who could hold me accountable to that step that I just thought about? Or who could read a book of the Bible with me over this next month? Or who could answer questions when I read Scripture and I don't understand, and that's tripped me up in the past? Or who can help me find a good Bible that will fit where I'm at in my faith journey? So just take a minute. Who will I ask to do that with me? So we've thought about where we're at. We've thought about what's one step we can take. And we've thought about who can join us in that. So here's the thing. We all just thought about someone, right? Here's the thing. Over this week, this next week, my challenge to us is go talk to that person. Talk to them. Say, I want you to partner with me in this. Here's my next step I'm taking. And I know that's maybe out of their comfort zones for some of us. It may be hard for some of us. That's okay. We're going to push ourselves. Right? We're going to push ourselves to keep growing together as we seek to continue to make healthy steps forward in our health as people of our own spiritual faith journeys, but also together as a congregation. All right? So let's pray together. God, we are so thankful for the gift of your word. It is a precious gift to us because it reveals you to us. It reveals your love for us. It reveals your plan for us, your plan of redemption. It reveals your continued working in our lives and in our world. So God, thank you for the gift that Scripture is. And you have heard, God, you've heard our thoughts that have been upon our hearts over the last couple of minutes. And as we seek to grow and take another step forward in spiritual health, as individuals, but also as a faith community, God, may our growing and may our evolving relationship with your word be instrumental in that. God, I just pray for us as a church. I pray for us as a congregation. I pray for each and every one of us as individuals and as a faith community that we will, no matter where we're at today, that we will take a next step together in growing in our relationship with the gift of your holy word. God, it's a privilege for us to be able to pray together as a faith community. And so we come together today in prayer around all the joys and the concerns that are filling our hearts this day. We are indeed excited, as we talked about earlier, to begin this new discipleship year and all the opportunities that are of learning and growth that are going to take place in this coming year for young and for old. And it's a joy to be able to grow together in Christ, whether it's through Discovery Hour, or youth groups, or Bible studies, or community groups, or small groups, or so many more opportunities just to connect with one another. We're so grateful for this time and this season this year. God, we also celebrate with Kat and her family and the call from First Presbyterian in Wheaton. And we look forward to another milestone of her call journey next week with her ordination. So we pray that you would bless her and anoint her, equip her thoroughly, as your word says here, in every way for the call that you've placed before her. God, we continue to pray for Blaze. And we ask that the treatments he is receiving will be effective to rid his body of cancer. May his body respond well and the numbers improve in such a way that he could soon come home. God, we pray this morning for other ways that we see sin's effects in this world. In relationships, between people groups, dysfunction, hatred. We see places where there's unrest and turmoil. God, we are so often overwhelmed by sin's effects that have caused havoc, and we lament the effects it has had in our lives and in our world. And God, hear our hearts. We pray that you would intervene in these situations. And God, at the same time, we cling to the hope that is found in Jesus Christ and found in him alone. He is the one who has come and has defeated sin and death once and for all. And today we claim the hope that is ours, that sin and death will never have the final say, that our eternal and living hope is secure in the good news of Jesus Christ. We rest upon this today and always. And God, we give you thanks and praise that you are the kind of God who has and who will always love us and be with us. For all of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.